Now, this is Box to Box with Michael Edgley and Mark Van Aken.
Oh, what a goal!
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
They're just around the corner.
Absolutely fantastic!
Hello and welcome to Box, the show that is everything football on Macquarie Radio NTS, News Talk Sport. You're with Michael Edgley. I'm joined in the co-host chairs by former Notts County man and Hume City gaffer Dean Hennessy and our own news hound Mark Van Aken, who will join us shortly for First Edition News. After Mark's segment, we'll be joined from the Sydney FC sheds by midfielder Brandon O'Neill. Then Dean Hennessy previews the A-League round ahead with a special focus on tonight's big clash between Sydney and Brisbane at Allianz Stadium. And we'll wrap up the first hour of our show talking to Fox Sports Adelaide-based Dom Ronaldo to discuss the unfolding on-field crisis at Adelaide United. In the second hour, as always, we'll kick off with Second Edition news. Then Sky Sports New Zealand pundit Jason Pyne will update us on the Phoenix and, surprisingly, the push for a second A-League team in New Zealand. And Dino will return with all the international news before Marco and his unique stoppage time segment looking back at 2016. G'day, Dino.
Hello, Edge.
Big match tonight between Sydney and Brisbane.
It is, 1v3. Look, it's exciting. Two good sides, both in relatively good form. Certainly Sydney FC consistent from the get-go, from the start of the season. And the only ones for me are most probably in as good a form is most probably Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when they play again, but we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves because tonight's game for Brisbane is a bit of a benchmark on where they're at and whether they've improved on last year, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I do. I mean, they're competitive, they get some really good results, and then they'll drop 2 points like they did last week. But look, again, you're in a good position. You know, you're in that top three. And in football, as long as they hang into those types of positions with the playoff system that we've got over here, there's no doubt they'll go very, very deep into the playoffs and hopefully into their grand final.
Well, more about the Sydney FC and Brisbane match when we talk to Brandon O'Neill from the sheds prior to the game. Interesting to see how relaxed he is as he's getting ready for the match. But let's just reflect a moment on this Christmas crush of fixtures. It's been fun. The sauna that was Amy Park delivered plenty of goals over the last couple of nights in Melbourne.
I'm actually going to go out and say that the Melbourne City game, which I didn't see live, unfortunately, it's a Christmas function. I know my boys went to the game and they just said that is the best game. And then I watched the replay. I woke up the next morning, watched it, you know, on the replay. And it's like a good book. You couldn't put it down. It had everything. It's one of the best games. And if games were like that week in, week out, this A-League will continue to grow and get more bums on seats because that was really good entertainment.
It was great entertainment. And what was really great, I mean, we all do our own things during the games, obviously, but I was at the game and often when I see Melbourne City games in the second half, I go and sit with my brother-in-law and my nephew who are big Melbourne City fans. And as I sat down for the start of the second half, my brother-in-law said, "Oh, we're going to go in front, but Perth is going to score straight after because that's exactly what happens." And it's funny how it turns out, but it was incredibly entertaining. And let's bring Mark in because there's more stuff to talk about that, in particular the suspensions that have come out of that game.
Well, yeah, we'll get to those, but let's fast forward. So Dino Djurbic has been given a 3-match suspension, which he is appealing. However, Mr. Brandan was given 2. He's not appealing that. How does Dino get 3 and Brandan... That C word, and not the bad C word. Well, it's a bad C word, the cheat. You know, just the man who...
Yeah,
you know,
like him, do you?
Well, he cops the slightest knock and he
Melbourne
rolls
City
around
fans
on the floor.
Melbourne City fans love him. He, I mean, he's mischievous, and I'm sure enough
they're not going to love him for the next fortnight, are they?
So. No, that's right, and that's disappointing for them. But I was actually pretty close to the incident, and I've got to say, Dino nailed him. He absolutely nailed him with the knee to the body. And he hurt him because Brandon was walking around for the next 10 minutes rubbing his ribs. But
he lost some hair on the side of his head on both sides as well, by the look of it.
I think the razor does that to him, Mark. Yeah.
Anyway, what a game. Just absolutely end-to-end stuff. I was lucky to be there. Had a few choice words for some Melbourne City fans. Just about
you don't, like them, do you? Officially, you don't like them.
No, I don't say that. No, I don't like Brandan. Let's leave it at that.
I think he's great for the league, and he creates controversy, and the Melbourne City fans love him. But Dino obviously does not.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's listen again.
Not you, Dino. The Dino.
Yeah. Hey, we're going a little bit out of order. But I had to listen to some audio from Neil Kilkenny post-game. He was not happy, Jan.
Now, I know you weren't very happy at halftime, mate, but I'd imagine you'd see that as an opportunity lost tonight.
Yeah, massive loss, massive opportunity, you know. Against Sydney, a penalty. That wasn't a penalty. Again tonight, a throw-in over there. That wasn't our ball. They've come and scored from it. A legit a goal. And then against Beecher in offside. Now, come on. Something has to be done about this.
What about the way your team conceded? Obviously, when you kept on going up and then you kept on conceding goals not long after that. Is that something that you're conscious of and need to work on?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's disappointing. It's very disappointing. We should have had 3 points tonight. We should have had 3 points against Sydney. We probably should have had a draw against Victory, so it's disappointing.
And what was the message from JVS leading into this one? Because we know that you'd had a really heavy schedule, but you came in tonight looking fresh and starting the game well.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we dominated the game, you know. Again tonight, we dominated the game, and obviously they've had a couple of chances and scored off them. So, like I said, it's disappointing, frustrating, and, you know, obviously Timmy scored again, and it's been rubbed off for some reason, and then I'm speechless, to be honest.
Well, he wasn't quite speechless, was he, boys? But what I find funny, and look, I love getting stuck into the refs like anyone else, because he's speechless. He's certainly talking underwater there. But and it got good work for my old sparring partner, Mike Zapponi, to keep coming up with the questions, because it was all going in one direction. But look, I get the frustration with the referees, but you want to talk about mistakes. How about probably the best player in the league, Bruno Fornaroli, and the two pens? And let's not discount the great work done by Liam Reddy in the Perth goal as well. But, mate, your skipper can't even put away two pens. And you're talking about, you know, throw-ins. I mean, seriously, mate, that's one. And the other thing, too, the positive, too, with all the troubles Perth Glory have had this season, this show with Diego Castro, I think it was his first start back after a bit of a layoff. What a player.
Castro is absolutely outstanding. I mean, he looked really disappointed as well when he got dragged.
He challenged Kenny. He sort of put his hands down beside him. He said, why'd you take me off, coach?
And I'll give Kenny his due. I think he's just got one eye. He's only had 20 minutes, I think he said, prior to that game. And I think he's thinking, hold on, he's on fire already and he's only just come back. Last thing we want to do is something happens in the next 20 minutes and we lose him again. So I most probably thought that was good game management from Kenny. But again, players don't want to be brought off. You know, they want to be out there. And he is such a good player. I mean, we talked about him last year. He's just lovely to watch. Very, very clever, very intelligent. And he's been missed.
No, well and truly. Hey, let's move on because we talk about the game all night. But there was other stuff going on in the football world this week. Now, boys, $4.187 million a month, $1,046,000 a week, $149,535 a day, $103 a minute, or $1.73 a second. This is according to reports. And this is not what we get paid here on Box to Box. This is what Carlos Tevez is set to make when he becomes football's highest paid player after the former Man United and Man City striker signed for Shanghai Shenhua in the latest big money Chinese deal. The club has confirmed the acquisition of the 32-year-old from Buenos Aires side Boca Juniors will, inverted commas, greatly enhance the team's front line, Shenhua said on a verified social media account. Wow.
I've heard this prior to, this is like going back about 9 to nearly 12 months, and I can't really reveal the sources, but I knew this was coming, and this isn't the end of it. This is just the beginning.
Oh.
They've got a profile here which is going to try and be bigger than the EPL, which I think they will succeed. It's just whether the attraction of trying to get players over there, you know.
$103 a minute will do it, won't it?
It does, but again, it's a lifestyle thing as well. So, I mean, but yeah, money does do it. Money does talk, as we all know. But this isn't the end of it. This is the beginning of it, and this is going to be a really serious league in many years to come.
The only question, actually, it's probably a topic for the new year, is I have no doubt that the Chinese league will become one of the sort of eminent leagues in the world on the back of this as they keep doing this, but. What does it do for Chinese football? Because guess what? Yeah, okay, it's great for the profile of their league. I don't see their players getting a look in or improving.
Well, it's this measurement of having, let's call, visa spots in any domestic league that has foreign players coming in. It's been really, really bad for British football, if you want to look at it from a development point of view.
Correct.
And that could be the case. Now, I don't know. I haven't done enough research in it, but I certainly will for the next time we discuss this, of what the rules are in China, if they have to have so many Chinese players so they do develop. But again, the money that's going around now, in fact, the last transfer window, they spent more money than the EPL, and it looks like they might even go again in January.
In January, yeah.
Marco, I'll give you an alternate view there. I have my nephew staying with us from Singapore. He lives in Singapore, and before that he lived in Guangzhou. And I asked him whether he watches the A-League in Singapore, and he said no, he doesn't, and he's not aware that it's on, which was interesting. He plays football. He's a goalkeeper. But he watches the Chinese Super League religiously, and all his mates do, and they know exactly who's coming and going from the league. And it's just interesting that part of the world, it's dominating the local football content, which is just an interesting perspective from. I mean, we shouldn't get caught up in our world a little bit. There is other worlds, including Asia, and it sounds like Chinese Super League's cutting through.
Oh, look, I know he's an Australian kid, but he's been over, 4 or 5 years they've been over there now.
Yeah.
So how old is he?
Joel's 15.
There you go. So, I mean, he's a third of his life has been sort of disconnected from Australia. So it doesn't surprise me as a kid, essentially a Chinese/Singaporean kid, doesn't really follow the A-League. That doesn't surprise me at all. One thing that surprises me, why we don't have the Chinese Super League on telly in Australia, because there's a lot of our Socceroos playing over there now. And it's a great, well, it looks like it must be a great league, but we can't really see it. So I think that's one for Foxtel, BN, Fox Sports, someone to chuck on their platform, maybe even Optus next season.
Well done, Marco and Dino. Great start to the show. And after the break, we'll be with Sydney FC's Brandon O'Neill live from the change rooms.
Box to box.
Can you believe it?
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
They're just around the corner.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
Sydney FC continue to dominate the A-League, and after an awesome performance against Adelaide last week and a huge match against Brisbane tonight, we thought we should touch in with our own Box to Box's Brandon O'Neill. Welcome back to Box to Box, Brandon.
No, you're more than welcome, lads. Pleasure to be on.
Thanks for joining us so close to kick off tonight. It's obviously another big game, but before we talk about the big match this evening, why don't we just reflect on just another job done. The Grinch, Graham Arnold, cancelled Christmas, and you blokes just had to get on your way to Adelaide and do your thing down there, 4-0. Although the goals came late in the game, it was competitive for a time, but was another great performance.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we had a plan going down there. It was kind of in our best interest, travelling on Christmas Day, knowing that Adelaide would obviously be able to spend time with family and friends and indulge and maybe have a drink. And so I only thought it was a good idea, actually, to travel on Christmas, make sure we're all together eating the right food and getting the proper rest. And yeah, it showed from Boxing Day that we were ready to go. I thought the first half an hour Adelaide were quite good. They matched up in all areas of the park. And I think after we got the first goal, you could just tell that our confidence from there grew, and in the second half we were able to score three fantastic goals and put in a very good performance. And yeah, it's just very pleasing at the moment to be able to carry out what Arnie's trying to tell us in the games and being so clinical in front of goal, and I have to continue now tonight against Brisbane, and we're going out there to get the 3 points.
Hey, Brandon, I know you just want to talk and worry about your own backyard, but are you surprised, like many of us, at just how poorly Adelaide is going about this title defence? We know they had famously a very slow start to last season and it came good, but it just seems increasingly week after week that they've obviously lost a lot of cattle in the off-season, but just as someone who has to come up against them three times a season, are you astonished at just how much they're struggling? Certainly for results, anyway.
Yeah, I'm not really like astonished or I'm shocked or anything. If anything, I just feel very sorry for them, because they've got a great bunch of lads down at Adelaide, and the footballers themselves are very good footballers. Like, you look at some of the talent in that team and you go, God, they've shone in the A-League in previous years. And I think they're just going through a stage where they're in a rut. And once you get into a rut and decisions aren't going your way and performances kind of let you down and then you don't get results, as a team, it's very hard to get out of it, and the only way you can get out of it is week by week, just knuckling down and working hard. So, if anything, I just feel very sorry for them, because they're a great club, and they produce some fantastic footballers, and I'm sure that they'll be able to turn it around in the near future.
Brandon, Dean here. I just want to ask you a question. I want to go back to pre-season. I was fortunate enough, I spoke to Terry as we talked off air, and I came up and spent a couple of days at your camp in the Gold Coast. And I was really, really impressed about how the whole thing was prepared for. And I've always believed that if you have a really good pre-season and then can get off to a good start, that consistency generally can hold you all the way through. Do you feel that the same from a playing point of view?
100%. Even now during the season, it's exactly the same. The professionalism down at Sydney SC has to be the best in this country. I think that when you go down there as a player, you don't want for anything. Everything's always given to you, whatever you need for you to be able to improve your game or just to enjoy yourself down there. It's always given to you. From Arnie to Terry to Clark, the strength and conditioning fella, to Bimby, our assistant coach, and it goes right down to our chef, our kit man. It's just amazing what goes on behind the scenes for everything to run so smoothly. And I think that was really driven to us in pre-season. For us to do really well this year, first of all, everything has to be done professionally, and all them 1%ers have to be achieved. And then once that happens, if everyone's on the same path, everyone's kind of on the same journey, and we're going to end up in winning something this year, we all have to be in together. And Andy's been very good at getting very good players, number one, to the club, but extremely good people off the park as well. And it's just been a pleasure to be involved in such a great organisation.
That's superb. I mean, now, looking at the moment, I mean, consistency is everything, and there's no more consistent team than Sydney FC at this current moment. But having a look at Melbourne Victory, even though they look a little bit far behind, but they've got that game in hand away to Wellington when that eventually comes round. Do you obviously keep the foot on the pedal, because, you know, in this game things can turn pretty quickly, as we all know. But I can't see, from the time I've been watching you week in, week out, you just seem to be getting actually stronger instead of just that consistency. It just seems to get better and better.
Yeah, that's what it feels like as well. We're feeling like even the draws we were getting when we played Brisbane away, and say the draws we've had previously to that as well, we felt in each game we've just improved. And we're creating more chances and we're being more ruthless. And I think in the last couple of weeks, away to Perth and away to Adelaide, the ruthlessness has really come to the fore, and we've been able to put things away just by the chances we're creating and the goals we're scoring. So, it's a matter of each week we truly believe that we can get better and better. It's like little things that kind of creep into our game that we instantly just click and go, hold on, we can do this better, we can do that better. And then all of a sudden, in the game, we're doing it. So, yeah, it's not a matter of the consistent performances. It's a matter of getting better and better and being able to blow this league away, really.
You're listening to Box on Macquarie Radio's News Talk Sport. You're with Michael Edgley, Mark Van Aken and Dean Hennessy, and we're talking to Sydney FC's Brandon O'Neill. Brandon, what's your assessment of your own form this year? How happy are you, and do you think you're going okay?
Yeah, look, it's been a great start to the year. Personally, I've played in a lot of games, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. Obviously, I'm still a young lad, and I'm learning how to be consistent and play well week in, week out, and I'm enjoying the ride. It's been a privilege to be able to play in such a great team with a great coach, and we know that we haven't just got a very good starting 11. We've got 16, 17, 18 players that can always come in and play well, and that just goes to show that the depth of Sydney FC at the moment. So now I'm really enjoying myself. I'm looking forward to a big game tonight, and hopefully we can get a good result.
Hey, Brandon, I'll craft this question in a way that doesn't sort of snooker you too much, but Reece Williams is basically parting ways with your old mob Perth Glory. There's talk that he may come to the club if the Korean interest in Matt Yerman comes to fruition. My question is, if that came to be, given that theme of everything you've spoken about, do you feel that even with key personnel changes like that, you've got such a system in place now at Sydney FC that the engine will just keep ticking over?
Yeah, I truly believe that. Obviously, if the rumours are true with Reece and stuff, it'd be another great acquisition to Sydney FC. I've I've grown up playing with Reece's two younger brothers, and I'm very close to Reece, and he's a lovely bloke and a very good footballer, so he'd fit the mould at Sydney FC perfectly. And although I'd hate to see Matty German go, if that was true as well, Matty German's is a Sydney FC through and through fella. He's a terrific bloke and such a solid defender and a key player for us at Sydney FC. So whether it happens and whether the rumours are true is yet to be seen. But yeah, one thing's definitely for sure: if anything was to happen in this January transfer window, the train would keep on rolling. And it's just how we're set up this season. We're very fortunate and we have the luxury that we have a very good squad, and week by week we know that the 11 players plus the bench will be able to go out there and put on a very good performance.
Brandon, I just want to one from left field. You talk about earlier in about the backroom staff and how they function, and obviously you're a full-time professional, and I know you work on the GPS and the heart rate monitors with Clarkey, you know, obviously holding all the cards and dictating the pace. So in the pre-season, you know, all the loads that we go through and obviously try and get ourselves fit and ready, how much input do you find as a player with this GPS information and the heart rate monitors and how your body functions? Because a lot of people wouldn't know this, that this is how the high level this is at the moment.
Yeah, look, Clark, he's absolutely phenomenal at what he does. The way he can get the subject of detail that he can put into a player to get himself as fit as possible is just phenomenal. And in pre-season, he worked really hard on us to get us in the shape that we're in today. And after every session and after every game, we'd go to his iPad, and he has this whole list of information on his computer, and it tells you how many kilometres you've done, how your heart rate's been in the session, how many sprints you've done, how many high running velocity metres that you've done, and these things all are put into categories. And as a midfielder or as a left back or as a striker or a winger, if you're hitting these certain marks in a game, he reflects them to say a Premier League standard or a Spanish Segunda standard or these top leagues. He replicates the numbers that players are doing there to the numbers that we're doing in training and games. And it just, as a player, it just makes you really realise what you can do and what you can achieve. And at this present stage, us Sydney FC players are hitting numbers that Premier League players are hitting. So that just tells you how good Clarkey has been for us physically and mentally. He's getting everyone in the best shape of their life. And you've seen that in during games when we've scored one or we're 1-1 and the other team is kind of backing off a bit and getting tired. We're still going. We're still trying to create 3, 4, 5 goal-scoring opportunities. And that's down to the coaching staff and what they've been able to do for us this year.
Hey, Brandon, last question for me, and I think possibly from all of us, but I know you've been quizzed about this a little bit lately, and rightly you've said, hey, you've got a lot more work to do and a lot more improvement to come. But there's been talk linking you to perhaps the Socceroos down the track or even Ireland, where your sort of heritage is from. And I know you've sort of said, oh, look, you'll play it by ear, but I've got a question for you, mate. If the phone rings and it's Ange Postecoglou, and then just as you're about to answer Ange, Martin O'Neill comes up as well, who's the one you're pressing the red button on, mate?
Well, first of all, I'd be very shocked if that ever happened.
At the same time as well, at the very same moment.
If that ever happened, I probably wouldn't answer both and just take 5 minutes just to kind of get myself. I'd be very, very shocked. But if both phone calls came, I'd hypothetically, I'd speak to Ange and I'd speak to Martin on both fronts, and then I'd speak to me important people in my life, which are my family and my girlfriend and the people that are close around me, find out what their thoughts are, and I know they always have the best interest at heart for me, and I'd speak to them, and then the decision would come down to the me and my footballing career, where I could think I could develop more playing for Australia or Ireland. And look, it'd be a lovely, lovely problem to have, put it that way.
Absolutely.
If that ever came up. And I'd just be very privileged if I could represent either of them. They're both very, very good countries. They've been very good countries to me and my family, and it'd be a privilege to ever represent either of them.
Well said, Brandon. That's awesome. Thanks so much for talking to us so close to kickoff. Good luck tonight. I've got a feeling that Sydney FC's juggernaut will continue with a big match against Brisbane Roar tonight. Thanks, Brandon. We wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you very much, boys, and have a lovely new year. I hope that the new year does you very well.
Thanks, Brandon. Nick's Dean Hennessy with all the A-League news and a close look at tonight's clash between Sydney and Brisbane Roar.
Box to box.
Can you believe it?
For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings,
and Storage King,
they're just around the corner.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
Now we've got former Notts County man, the 250-game veteran of the Victorian Premier League and Hume City gaffer, box-to-box's own Dean Hennessy. Welcome, Dino.
Thanks, Edge. I'm well. How are you?
We're good. We're going to get into the A-League.
We are.
How do you want to kick this off, Dino?
Well, I think we'll start with tonight's game. We've just had Brandon on the show. And
he was pretty relaxed, wasn't he?
He was pretty relaxed.
Someone who's putting his socks on for the game.
Yeah, he's very relaxed. I mean, we did ask him off air where he was starting, but he couldn't divulge, so I'm not sure about that, but hopefully he does.
I reckon he will, because he had a bit of a rest last week, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So, but look, I think this is a cracker. It's 1v3. It's the most informed team in the A-League versus one that's there and thereabouts, a little bit from time to time inconsistent, but still holding third place, so it's still pretty tight.
Now, you wouldn't criticise Sydney if they lost tonight, would you? But I think this is a massive game for Brisbane.
Look, it is. I can't see, and again, most probably more so, I've got even more enthusiasm having spoke to Brandon about how he believes the squad is running at the moment. But look, they're unbeaten. You're always going to get beat once, you think. Tonight could be the night, but I just don't think it will be. I just think Sydney are on such a run, and I'm pretty confident that although it'd be close, I still think Sydney will beat them.
I know it wasn't in the league. The Victory fans will point out that, the City fans will point out they did lose the FFA Cup final this season, but of course undefeated in the league. Finally, a good game for SBS on a Friday night. Unfortunately, everyone's down the beach.
That's right.
Look, the only thing I'd say, Brisbane Roar have come out and been quite vocal this week of how they can beat them and do this. That's what Adelaide said last week. So, how did that work out for Adelaide? So, yeah, I think Sydney are looking good.
Yeah.
Now, but just on Brisbane, I actually think they're okay, and I think Tommy Orr. I mean, in the context of challenging Sydney, I think this game could be very close. But I think Tommy Orr, Jade North, and obviously your love child, Jamie McCarron, are the key to this game tonight. Would you agree?
Look, I think they're most probably key week in, week out. And all teams have key players. They all have something in their side that they must have them playing reasonably well, at least an 8 out of 10 type of performance week in, week out. And the top teams do, but I mean, I look at Sydney, I can't really see there's anybody in the Sydney team letting them down week in, week out. Brandon was off the pitch, then came on towards the end of the game, and that means that it's not just about 11 players. There's a squad of players.
Well, there is a squad of players. But Arnie, Graham Arnold, obviously the Sydney FC coach, continues to say we can improve, continues to say there's items to work on. And defensively, even though they beat Adelaide 4-0 in his post-match presser, Graham Arnold was talking about that he thought the defence had a lot of improvement in them. I think they've conceded like 3 goals in 6 games.
Look, he's setting really high standards this year, and that's why they're unbeaten and they're the top side. I think that's most probably out there just making sure that everybody's got their feet on the ground, not get carried away. I mean, when you win 4-0, you're most probably looking forward to your press conference and go out there. But I think he's taken a different approach. And he knows in football he's been in it. Year one was fabulous. Year two was a struggle. Year three, they're at this stage unbeatable. So, there's going to be a time where this is going to hiccup. But I think there's enough in the tank that if they do hiccup either tonight or sometime into the future, they'll bounce really right back, because I believe they'll be there at the pointy end.
Last one from me on this before we move on to other games. But Matt German, if he was to leave Sydney FC, and there is rumours that he's off to Korea, I think, Mark, isn't it? But what would it mean for them to lose Matt German?
Oh, look, he's done really, really well. He's consistent. He's been part of that same defensive setup that's conceded, I think you said, 3 goals. He's going to be a loss, but it's down to like anything in football. You're always going to lose players from time to time, whether you want to or you don't. It's the ability to go and replace them. And I think if we use Adelaide as an example, they lost a lot of players last year and haven't replaced them properly. And that's why they're not going to most probably turn this around this year.
Okay, next game, Dino.
Well, the next one now, Central Coast Mariners. I did go to that game against Victory, and in part, again, played some reasonable football, but Victory are very, very good. Victory, you know, really in good form, and obviously they're going to come up against Melbourne City, who've played most probably the most thrilling game of certainly this season, but could possibly one of the most exciting games the A-League's ever produced. So I think Fornaroli missing penalties. And it'd be interesting to see if he's still on them, if they do get one. I know he buried his.
I think yeah, that's interesting. I mean, he missed two penalties, and you can criticise him for that. And obviously,
but the goals he scored were fantastic.
Exactly.
And look, look, if there was ever, if he calls that a blip, he deserves a blip, because since he's come into this league, he's lit the place up. And I just think he just proves that in football, he's human. And as much as he's got all the quality and most probably could be the best player in the league, you know, he's human, and it happens to everybody.
We know all teams, when they draw, when they should win, like Melbourne City did the other night, we know all teams feel it hard, but they were particularly stung by that game against Perth Melbourne City. So I'm expecting a response from them.
Yeah, a big response. I think they'll go there and really smash Central Coast.
Yeah. What about Central Coast? They were really outgunned everywhere. Not much to take out of that game.
I think competitive until they concede, and then after that, it's you're really now starting to put the shutters, because they just fall away really, really quick now, little like they did last year. Earlier in the season, that wasn't the case. You know, they were competitive. Look, I still think they can be, and I can't put my finger on why they're not playing like they were earlier, but it's like anything. It's a tough league, this, and I think Melbourne City for me tonight. Well, sorry. Tomorrow.
Yeah, on Sunday, Wellington Phoenix host Adelaide United in a game that might actually kickstart a bit of run for them, because they have quite a glut of home games at the Cake Tin. You'd expect Wellington to get the job done there, wouldn't you?
Look, you do. And it's interesting. I've just looked at the league table, the way it's all structured now. It's really a league, two leagues. It's first and fourth, and then also there's a 6-point gap and, you know, from fifth to 10th. So, I mean, if Adelaide were to win, and, you know, it's hard to see how they're going to do that in the form they're in, but if they were to turn something around, all of a sudden the gap then is only 4 points. And all of a sudden you think, well, we can touch that now. Get beat against Wellington tonight, on Sunday, and all of a sudden the gap's just pushed out again, and you're just not going to catch it up. So that's... for me, I think Wellington will win.
And doubleheader on Sunday, obviously, Western Sydney hosting Perth, who haven't been home since the game against Sydney. They've decided to stay on the Eastern Seaboard. And do you think give Perth a chance against Western Sydney?
Look, I think it's been a really tough run for Perth, but I think they're playing some really good football. And, you know, the boy Castro's back now, and he makes a big, big difference. And he feeds Keogh, and they link in really, really well. They will miss Big Dino, as much as, you know, he had his little moment in the game against Melbourne City.
You obviously wanted to go home.
He did. I think he did. But I think the other key thing I want to just touch on was the Mark Warren versus the Bruce Kamau episode, where people were saying, well, how come he never got sent off? Because he was involved in so many incidents in the game. And to be fair, he got absolutely bathed. And it was, look, Kamau's good. He can do it to the best of them. And the reason is why he didn't get sent off, because all the fouls he did commit in the box, he was actually aiming to go for the ball, which he was. And this is a new rule that's come in, and no one knows about it. Well, it's not been publicly announced. Well, certainly I haven't heard it. But I know for a fact that that's how it works. So if you go for the ball...
It's the interpretation.
It's the interpretation. Yeah. If you're not going for the ball, then it can be a straight red and you're off. So, but for me, I think Perth...
He even swapped Risden onto Kamau.
Oh, he did. He tried everything. I actually think Perth will beat Western Sydney.
And the last one...
nice and quick, boys, come on.
Yeah, your mob, Melbourne Victory and Newcastle Jets, in two words, Dean.
Very, very impressed Newcastle Jets, but Victory are flying, and I think they'll just have just a little bit too much. I'll put Victory in there and keep the heat on Sydney.
Thanks, Dino. That's awesome. After the break, Fox Sports Adelaide-based Dom Ronaldo and his take on the on-field crisis unfolding at Adelaide United.
Box to box.
Can you believe it?
The Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
They're just around the corner.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
It seems only yesterday that Adelaide United were the undisputed kings of Australian domestic football. Fast forward to December 2016 and Adelaide are in full-blown crisis, sitting last on the table with one win from 12 matches. Thus, to get all the news on Adelaide, we welcome back to Box to Box, Cruise FM's and Fox Sports, Dom Ronaldo. Welcome back, Dom.
Gentlemen, nice to speak to you again. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Domi. Same to you.
Yeah, it's been a sort of like, seems like light years ago, doesn't it, that Adelaide United won that premiership in, what was it, May 1st? And, yeah, you fast forward to now, you think, what on earth is going on? Well, where do you start, really?
Dom, just give us a bit of a... Obviously, there was a bit of a turnover in the squad. Some key players left. We've talked about that quite a bit. Is that the key problem? They just lost too many good players and haven't been able to recruit anywhere near the talent they lost?
I think it's got something to do with it, no doubt about that. It's most probably a combination of a lot of things. Besides that, you know, the old cliche, the premiership hangover, to me, they don't look hungry enough. I mean, they do play some good football in patches, but then they make some elementary mistakes. Really, you know, I was bagging my good mate Bruce Chite for a long time there last year. Remember that last season? But
yes.
Then he came good. The Guardiola, he obviously has a good pedigree, but he doesn't seem interested to me. He just looks like he's just going through the motions. A lot of people are saying the service is not good. He's had a lot of opportunities, but he doesn't put them away, and that's what he's there for. So, yeah, it's I think it's a combination of a lot of things. And you mentioned about players that they've lost, and then they've replaced them at the 11th hour because they didn't really have any signings up until a month or two before the season was about to start. I think the alarm bells started ringing when they lost to Redlands in the FFA Cup, where it was pretty embarrassing for them, the reigning champions losing to an NPL team. All of a sudden you thought, well, we better get some players here. And then they started looking for players, and by then maybe they could only get what was available, because at that stage of the season, most of the players that were available already snapped up. So yeah, I think it's a combination of everything.
Well, go ahead, Mark.
I heard a good South Australian football person, Joe Mullen, really tee off on the radio about the attitude of the players. He thought they had lost to Sydney 4-0, there was smiles and pats on the backs with, you know, players that they'd played with at other clubs and so forth. You've really noticed that you just think they're not trying. Is that right?
I don't think it's a deliberate not trying. I think it's just one of those... I mean, here in Adelaide, the talk when they were losing game after game, and similar to last season, remember the first eight rounds they hadn't won a game, where they went through the same thing this year. And a lot of the people were saying, oh, well, we did the same last year, we'll come good. They were expecting to emulate the exact same season as last season. Well, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice. You think, well, and I could see what was going on. A lot of the people who watch the game a lot think, well, you know what, it doesn't look the same. It just looks different. Yeah, maybe the path is the same, but I didn't think it was going to change just like it did last season, and obviously it hasn't. They only won one game, as we know, against Wellington here at home, and you know, Wellington were in crisis at that stage, so it was not like they beat a world beater. And in Sydney, in the second half especially, on Boxing Day, they really taught them a lesson. I was watching the game and calling the game, obviously, and thinking, is this the team that won the championship? It just doesn't look like the same side to me. Yeah, there's a few changes. It's not like the whole team was different. It's just that, you know, some key positions were changed, and they just didn't replace them. But remember those players that came in and left? You know, they were fringe players at other clubs. They came in, they fitted in nicely. I think everything just slotted in, and it's a winning mentality. They started winning, and they kept winning. Now it's the complete opposite. They started losing, and now they're still losing. So mind games have a lot to do with it as well. But at the same time, you know, you're not scoring goals, you're not going to win games, you make stupid mistakes in defence, you're going to lose games, and that's what's happening.
Was a bit of complacency, basically, in the group, because we have seen it last year. And I know you were very critical, and we sort of joked and we sort of hung it on you because they did turn it around. So everyone was just expecting that they'd hit round eight, round nine, thinking, you know what, they've done it before, they can do it again. But, you know, we're now past that threshold, and it just seems very, very unlikely. Well, right now, let's call it, they're not going to turn it around. They're not going to win a championship. They might still, you know, go on a run and maybe make the finals. But I think any chance of winning the championship's out the door.
Oh, that's completely out the door. And, yes, complacency most probably. Yeah, I mean, if I can put my finger on it and say exactly what's going wrong, then I'd be the coach. And poor old coach, I mean, the word here in Adelaide is that Amor won't be here at the end of the season anyway. This has been going on for a couple of weeks that he will be leaving, but the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves beforehand, although he seems to be a good enough bloke that he'll mostly see it through. But, there's just so many things that just don't look right. And I know you can tell the players aren't enjoying themselves, although having said that, after the game, yeah, there were smiles on the face. You think after being smashed 4-0, And, you know, you wouldn't be smiling. You'd be trying to scratch your head and think, what's going on? But, yeah, it just doesn't look right. I was smashing them last year, but, you know, there was good reason for it. But then they did come good. But, you know, whether I smash them or not today, I can't see them coming good now. I mean, they go to Wellington on New Year's Day now, and Wellington play some good football, even though that's the only team they beat. But over there, it's going to be a tough one. Then they got the two Melbourne teams back-to-back. Wow, where's that going to turn around?
Dom, it's Dean here. I just thought I'd... we talked to Craig Goodwin on the show last week. He was over in Rotterdam, and we talked about the comparisons of what had happened this season to last season. And he put it fairly and squarely in the... Obviously, he was one who left, along with a host of really good players. And he felt that the replacements haven't been anywhere near good enough, and that's most probably... be the situation why they won't turn it around. And I know you've placed a little bit of that earlier in this segment, but do you actually agree that realists, if we peel it back, they just haven't improved?
As much as I hate to admit it, I agree with Craig. I think the replacements haven't been up to scratch, with all due respect to those players. Although Garrucho looks good going forward. He makes a lot of mistakes in defence. And you look at Holland, I thought he was a better player than that. He's been disappointing, I must admit. Then you look at Guardiola, which I've mentioned, not scoring goals, and that's what he's there for. I think it's fair to say that the replacements haven't been up to scratch compared to the players that they've lost. But, you know, those players got contract offers, which is not a... Is it a coincidence? Four players were offered contracts, four players left. So you can ask the question, you know, what is going on there, even after you've won the premiership, that these players decided to leave. And I think you'll find that a few more players will most probably be leaving at the end of this season. 80% or so of those players still haven't been re-signed. And, you know, when there's uncertainty about your coach, whether he's going to be there or not, well, you know, if Adelaide are serious, they'd keep the coach, try and keep him there. That's if he wants to stay. I don't know if he does or not. But even when you don't know who's going to be the coach next season, those players who are coming out of contract are thinking, well, I don't know if I want to stay here, especially... You know, when you're having a season like this, they won the premiership last season. This season, it's embarrassing. Bottom of the ladder, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen a team come top, win the premiership, and the next season finish bottom, which at this stage it looks, you know, likely that they may, although, you know, they've got to win another game somewhere along the line. But, the players that they brought in, to me, definitely don't match the players that they've lost.
Now, Dom, just with the window opening very, very shortly, have you heard anything from your end about the potential targets they're trying to bring in to try and improve, not only for turning around the A-League, but also their Asian campaign?
Well, one hand I hear that, yeah, they'll be looking in the transfer market, but then you hear Guillemot saying that they're happy with the squad that they got, so there's no need to find new players. But he said this a week ago, two weeks ago. I'm sure he'll have to change his mind, because you mentioned the Champions League. Historically, when the Champions League starts, you're in two competitions, and normally the A-League, by and large, starts to suffer a little bit. So I'm sure they're not going to go there to try and win the Champions League, because you know, the way they're going now, the team and the group that they're in, it's going to be even more embarrassment for them. So it's going to be tough, because this is the time when you need to pick up those points to compensate for the Champions League, when, you know, you're travelling there, you're coming back, and you know, I've done it with the players when I used to work there, and it's not an easy thing to do, to try and you know, win in both leagues. So yeah, they need to dip into the transfer market, because they really do need to strengthen the squad. They've got a lot of young players there, but the young players aren't going to see you through. So the funny thing is, at the beginning of the season, when they had all those injuries, I thought those young players, they weren't winning. Sure, they weren't winning, but they kept losing in the last minute. But I thought those young players did pretty well.
Thank you, Dominic. Awesome and brilliant analysis on all things Adelaide. The upshot is there's a long way to go for them, and a big Champions League campaign. But a few questions to answer, in particular the coach's future. Next hour, we've got Mark Van Aken with News Part 2, Sky Sports New Zealand pundit Jason Pine on what's happening with Wellington Phoenix and that Auckland City A-League bid, and Dean Ennissy.
Now, this is Box to Box with Michael Edgley and Mark Van Aken.
Oh, what a goal!
For Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
They're just around the corner.
Absolutely fantastic!
Welcome back. We'll get into second edition football news shortly. Before we talk to Sky Sports New Zealand pundit Jason Pine on what is happening at Wellington Phoenix with their coaching gig,
And also, is that Auckland City A-League bid? Well, is it anything? Should we actually consider it at all? And of course, Dean Hennessy will have his England wrap. But first up, second edition news with Mark Van Aken.
Now, the boys, the Socceroos' chances of qualifying for the FIFA World Cup will be enhanced when the competition expands to 48 teams, which seems likely. FIFA President Gianni Infantino had initially flagged an increase to 40 teams, but now it appears an extra 16 teams will be added to the world's most prestigious international tournament. Four proposals will be tabled at a FIFA meeting on January 9, retaining the status quo, a 40-team tournament, and two versions of 48 teams. It's believed the increase will kick off in 2026, which will most likely be in the USA. You can't possibly like this, can you, boys? Especially, one of the things is 16 groups of three, meaning we go to the bloody World Cup and have two games and be out. And I don't think they're really thinking of Australia, where, as we know, with the Green and Gold Army, the logistical challenge that we have in Australia, the old tyranny of distance. Imagine flying all the way to the US for two bloody games and you're out.
Well, imagine them not thinking about the fans, Mark. Oh, they don't do a lot of it. I know what they're thinking of. They're thinking of broadcast. They're thinking of money, and they're thinking of what they can do to increase the pie. But, yeah, look, I'm with you on this one, Mark. We don't agree on a lot of things, but we agree on this one. This stinks.
12 groups. At the very worst, they need to have at least four. 12 groups. Trying to get my maths right. 12 groups of four. We need to at least have three group games, don't we?
Wouldn't 48, isn't it nearly half the world's entrance?
It's a quarter
half
of the world.
And why half
don't I go to, 96?
I'll tell you what it increases a lot of games. It makes a very big job for the host country to sort that out. Look, you know what's interesting? This has been going on and on and on, but it's actually going to go to a vote.
It dilutes the competition, though, tremendously.
Can I look really into my crystal ball and tell you how the vote's going to go?
Well, I think
exactly the way Johnny wants it, mate.
Probably, yeah. Look, let's watch that space. It's actually a major development.
Yeah, look out for those gold Rolexes. Where is the matter, though, where the Congress is this time around? But anyway, Melbourne Victory coach Kevin Muscat said Monday's Simmons Stadium clash was a chance for Geelong to flaunt its expansion credentials. Victory host Newcastle in their annual holiday fixture in Geelong as they attempt to stay in touch with top place Sydney FC after trouncing Central Coast 4-1 midweek, with Marco Rojas scoring a brace. Ticket sales indicate Monday's crowd will top the 14,268 that turned up in Jan 8 this year to watch Victory surrender a three-goal lead. That's a famous game, to draw 3-3 with Central Coast. Geelong is among the cities, of course, allegedly vying for expansion in the A-League. It's your old neck of the woods, Michael. The only thing is, they had, I think, 22,000 the first time they went down there, and they said it was a raging success, which technically it is, but I'm not sure how many people from Geelong were actually there. Don't forget, especially in the summertime, although this time of year, the Westgate Freeway, it might take you about 4 years to get down there. You'll be lucky to get there by Australia Day if you leave today. But
a couple of things. Last year's crowd was impacted by the fact the first time they had a game down there, they had a lot of problems getting the Melbourne Victory members in. They didn't have enough gates open. It wasn't a great fan experience. I understand they've sorted that out now. But you've heard me talk about this previously. I actually don't think Simmons Stadium is actually that good for the rectangular sports. And I'm a bit confused about why Melbourne Victory take this game down there. I know they probably get a little bit of money from the Geelong Council to do so, but I just don't know whether this is a good move.
Well, I think I'm right in saying last year's game against Central Coast was actually a Central Coast home game, so they'd actually sold it.
That's
to
right.
Geelong. So,
yeah.
But this time wouldn't be the case.
No, it wouldn't be the case.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I tend to agree on the stadium situation. The rectangular stadiums, you know, like AIM is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, the game the other night we went to watch, it makes a big difference.
I've got a question.
It does, but the reality is, I mean, Geelong, I know we spoke very early on this program to the ex-mayor now, Darren Lyons.
Yeah, he got unceremoniously booted out,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, talking about building a 10,000-15,000 seater down there, but they wouldn't even play there, so I didn't really understand the concept of that. I mean, the reality is, I don't think Geelong's getting a boutique football stadium anytime soon. Given $500 million is going to be spent on this place before it's finished in the next 5 to 7 years, surely you just need to make it work. And the reality is, yes, it's a long ground, but I firmly believe if and when there was an A-League team, they'd have to play there to justify all the money that's spent on it, given it only gets 8 big events a year. It is narrow. So you can just what I would do is just drag the pitch up to one end and basically forget that one of the grandstands is there at the other end, well, the hill at the moment, and go from there. And you can actually sort of – there are things you can do with inflatables and stuff to really make it feel like an intimate boutique stadium, because on the wings there, you're probably closer to the field than you are at some other grounds around Australia, particularly ones with running tracks, et cetera, or around the world, I should say.
Not sure.
There we go. That one we've already covered. Now, this is interesting, boys. Perth Glory have sole control and top spot after round eight in the W League, following a Sam Kerr inspired 3-2 win over Melbourne City. Kerr scored a second half brace in a high quality TV broadcast match at Amy Park as the champions slipped, can you believe this, to a third defeat in a row. Remember, these were the Invincibles. Talk about the Invincibles of Sydney FC. This Perth Glory, sorry, this Melbourne City side didn't lose a game last season. They're spending more than everyone else. It's a star-studded lineup. Pepe Montemiro looked like a genius last year. All of a sudden, they lost three in a row. Remember, three in a row is really important because it's bad enough. There's only 10-week competition. Michael?
Yeah, I follow the women's game pretty closely. Got a family friend who stars in that team for Melbourne City, Melina Ayres, who's a young girl making her way. But I've got to say, this is a comment without too much thought. Is Pepe Montemiro spending too much time with the men's team, not enough time with the women's team?
Well, only people down there could tell you, but it might be the case.
Just a question. But having said that, they've lost three. Yeah, they've got some work to do, but they are good enough to get it.
Oh, they are, but look, Perth's looking really good.
Samantha Kerr was on fire. She played a
fantastic
match.
She missed a lot of chances, though, apparently. I didn't catch the game.
She could have had quite a few goals, yeah.
There we go. Hey, this is a sad one, boys. Former England star Paul Gascoigne was hospitalised after an alcohol-fuelled altercation at a London hotel. British media reported on Wednesday, Gascoigne, who's now 49, was accused of racially abusing fellow customers, groping women and throwing money around, witnesses said. London's Metro Police said officers were called to a disturbance at the Ace Hotel in East London on Tuesday, and a 49-year-old man was taken to hospital with a head injury. Apparently, he was kicked down the stairs after these antics. He kind of half snickered and half just feels sad because it's just, it seems there's a pretty inevitable conclusion to all this for El Gazza, doesn't it?
He's most probably the best player I've seen live. And in his day, when he was, especially when he was younger, and certainly when he put an England top on, he was unbelievable. And even when he was written off after his knee injury in the Euros, scores that magnificent goal, of which was most probably the highlight for English international football since winning the 1966 World Cup. So to get to a semi-final and get done on penalties to the Germans, they were good enough to win it that year. And sad, really sad. And I think this is where it comes down to, do we do enough? And I know he's had a lot of help, but do we do enough? You know, whether it's PFAs of the world, all around the world, for the players that get into trouble and try and get them back on the right track.
Or maybe some people just don't accept help.
No, that's very true as well. But sometimes that slippery slope can be hard to get. You know, you want to get better, but you don't know how. And again,
it's just amazing. You look at him. I mean, he's 49. He looks like he's 79. He's not looking great at all.
Well, it's sad. Very sad. You know, one of the best footballers that I've seen play football.
Anyway, drug and alcohol. It's not the first time it's claimed a victim.
Now, Kerem Bullitt is also a victim there at Western Sydney. An unhappy homecoming has ended with the Wanderers announcing on Wednesday that the striker has been released with immediate effect. I could keep reading on, but look, the club is actually now linked with Jamie McLaren, Didier Drogba, Eduardo, Dimitar Berbatov and Robbie Keane. So a few decent names in there, boys, although on the wrong side of 30, well and truly. But certainly just didn't work out for old Kerem back home.
Yeah, two things on it. Does anyone actually know what he did wrong?
It might not be one thing, Dean. It could be a couple, or three or four.
Do we know anything about it?
Well, that's the thing. I don't. Do you?
No, I don't. And it's been very, very much behind closed doors and kept to a
They
a
really
secrecy.
Have. But clearly, whatever it is, clearly him and Popper. Popper gave him his last chance and clearly didn't take it.
The Jamie McLaren link is interesting. And I think there's something there to do with the contract that he was being offered at Brisbane and didn't come up to the match.
Which
and
Paddy Dominguez labelled disgusting. It's also linked to move to Asia as well. Jamie. So.
Yeah. Paddy's a good lad. I know Paddy pretty well.
Got time for one more, maybe. Ex-Swansea manager Bob Bradley believes the club made the wrong decision in showing in the exit door so quickly. You tend to agree, I reckon. The American was in charge of the Welsh club for little more than 2 months before he was sacked on Tuesday, winning just two of his 11 games in charge while conceding 29 goals during the same time. I'm a little bit pissed off this morning, Bradley said in an interview with TalkSport. I certainly knew that I was going into a difficult situation, and I also understand that when you go in the clocks, when you go in and the clock's already ticking, it's not like you're expecting all sorts of time. Too soon, though, Dino? No, you're in the coaches' club.
Look, it's a tough gig being a coach, as you all know.
Yes.
And, you know, Pep Montemiro, we were just talking about there, you know, unbeaten 1 year, lost three in a row, all of a sudden pressure's on, and football happens really, really quickly. You don't have to
look it's a results business.
Yeah, you look at Mourinho, how Mourinho can go from unbelievable winning stuff and then all of a sudden can't win a trick and he's getting sacked at Chelsea. It just, football ceases to amaze me. But I tell you what really worries me, and this is most probably worldwide, is I don't know how, you know, and there's an old saying that Brian Clough, who we love, obviously, you know, with some of the comments he's made, but he always says that the chairman that employs you, if he decides to sack you, then he should go with you because he's the one that's made that decision. And he always maintained that.
Brian Clough would say, that's bloody rubbish.
It was bloody rubbish. Sure.
Hey, boys, before we wrap up, Ryan Giggs and Wales boss Chris Coleman are the leading candidates for that job, incidentally.
Well, just on a personal... Boys. Yeah, well, they are, and I'd hope that Chris Coleman isn't one that's going to go there because I think from a Wales point of view, qualifying for any major tournament...
You talk about putting self-interest ahead of somebody's career. I reckon the Wales FA doesn't pay well as Swansea.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how long you last there. It's pretty, yeah, you know, true. It's a revolving door.
That's true. Anybody who's interested in all things football should listen to that TalkSport interview with Bob Bradley. He is very, very, very good in that interview and goes into great detail about what happened. And I think he should be congratulated for being so transparent, despite the fact his team has been crud this year.
Rubbish.
Rubbish. Okay, that's great stuff, Mark and Dean. Next up, Sky Sports New Zealand pundit Jason Pine.
Box to box. For Chemist Warehouse,
home of real brands and real savings,
and Storage King,
they're just around the corner.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
In all the discussion surrounding the A-League expansion here in Australia, a bid from Auckland City seems to be running under the radar. That, combined with Ernie Merrick's departure from Wellington Phoenix, are the topics for discussion with Sky Sports New Zealand's Jason Pine. Welcome back to Box to Box, Jason.
Yeah, good day, guys.
Well, a bit happening in your neck of the woods. Let's start with the Wellington Phoenix. It's been a while since we've had a chat to you, but how has the departure of Ernie Merrick been viewed by the Wellington Phoenix fans? And importantly, what's the club doing about their next coach?
Yeah, well, first part first. I think most fans were sorry to see Ernie go, mainly because he'd been such a good addition to the club since his arrival. You know, he arrived in Wellington with a bit of a reputation as a dour Scotsman, and I'm sure you guys would have seen parts of that during his time with Melbourne Victory. But he immediately was a breath of fresh air through the club, and you know, we remember well the season, two seasons ago, where he had them playing brilliant football. They were top of the league for a while, and Nathan Burns was scoring goals, and they made it to the finals, unfortunately not able to progress beyond the first finals match against Melbourne City. But he had the Phoenix playing good football. He had them with an attacking mindset. He gave young players a chance, and young Australian players as well. He gave them a chance. And for whatever reason this season, he just wasn't able to get the best out of a side that on paper was the best the Wellington Phoenix had ever assembled, in an attacking sense anyway. When you added Guy Finkler, Costa Barbarousis, to the likes of Rolly Bonavazzia, Roy Krishna, Michael McGlinchey, I mean, that was the envy of any front five in the competition just about, but they weren't able to score any goals and get any results, and he stood aside. So, look, I think most fans were sad to see him go, but they understood his reasons why. What are the club doing? Well, I have to say they're dragging their feet just a little bit on this at the moment. They were meant to have a decision before Christmas. That was what Chairman Rob Morrison told us at Ernie Merrick's resignation media conference. He said, look, we want to have an announcement before Christmas. The good oil around the place, guys, is that Chris Greenacre and Des Buckingham, the interim coaches, will be offered the jobs full-time, and that was going to happen after the Newcastle Jets game had the Phoenix won that match. It was a two-all draw, so I'm not sure that there was much really that you know, needs to be done more now than just to say, hey, guys, you've got the job, because the longer it drags on, the more uncertainty there is. I think these guys are going to get the job, but they just need to hurry up, I think, the Phoenix, and give them the job. That'd be my view.
Yeah, it seems quite bizarre that you're waiting for a win to do it. Like, either these are the right guys for the job or they're not. I don't think
Absolutely.
A win-loss or a draw. Now, we've got some audio from Mark Bosnich, who's been quite outspoken this week, of course, from Fox Sports, just talking about what value Wellington adds to the league. Let's have a listen to that.
I'm disappointed in Wellington. Once again, they promise a lot and deliver very little. They go 2-1 up, the game's there for the taking, and then you got your captain getting turned inside out in a position he should never have done. And also when it was 2-1 for Wellington as well, there was a couple of times when they got into good positions, if they were really ruthless and they really wanted to, they could have finished the game off, and they didn't. And again, The mind beggars with them. I really don't know what to say about them. When we had all that thing, keep Wellington in the A-League last year and everyone got behind them, and then all of a sudden it's all dropped off. And at the moment, for me, they're offering the A-League nothing. I want to see a bit of consistency and them actually threatening to get into the top four instead of just struggling around the fringes all the time. Regardless of the political factor of why they're in the A-League, let's take that aside for 1 minute. While you're in there, you should be doing. They should be up there like they were two seasons ago, actually making a difference. They are not making any difference whatsoever, and they're very frustrating.
Tough but fair, do you reckon, there, Piney? I mean, look, as you know, over this side of the world, I think a lot of people were really behind the Wellington Phoenix staying in the league. But Bozza makes some salient points about the fact that all that sort of energy, all that sort of groundswell behind the club seems to have really dissipated this season.
I agree, it has. And maybe Bozza went a touch far in the terms of emotion that he brought to his arguments. But when you step back a bit and maybe take a couple of deep breaths and have a look at what he's actually said, there's a lot of accuracy in his comments. The crowds have gone down, the memberships have gone down. There was a big groundswell of save the Knicks around the time when it looked as though they would be booted out of the A-League, and there was a lot of positive energy around the team, which seems to have dissipated this season. And look, you can talk about how they haven't been winning games, and that always has an impact on things like crowd numbers and memberships and TV ratings as well, I guess. But at the end of the day, as I said before, the Phoenix have assembled their best ever roster, and you look at the league table and you say, well, they should be doing a lot better than they are. I think things are on the up at the moment, and look, the next four or five games will be crucial. Westpac Stadium's been relayed now, so the team can finally return to their actual home ground, where they'll play four games in the first 21 days of January. They'll play New Year's Day, then off to Perth for a game, then back home for three games within 8 days on Westpac Stadium. At the end of that, I think we'll have an idea whether the Phoenix are actually contenders or not, and whether they have managed to mesh the squad into a bunch of players that can do what their reputations would suggest that they can. Look, I think a lot of people on this side of the ditch got a little bit annoyed by Mark Bosnich's comments. But like I said before, when you take a step back and examine the intent behind the comments or the actual structure of the comments and the things he's saying, it actually is pretty hard to argue with a lot of what he said.
Jason, Dean Hennessy here. I just thought I'd just take us back to Chris Greenacre and Des Buckingham. There was rumours here in Melbourne that Chris Taylor, the South Melbourne coach, was in line potentially. It was on social media. Were there any other people that they have discussed this with potentially, either if it's just Chris or somebody else? And also, why do you believe there is a delay for this announcement?
I believe that they have talked to other contenders. I know that there were interviews held in the Auckland hotel that the team stayed in when they played the game against the Western Sydney Wanderers in Auckland a couple of weekends ago. I know that there were interviews taking place then. Ramon Trebulic is a name that's been thrown around a lot, the Auckland City coach, who we know has done great things in a semi-professional league over here, getting the team to the Club World Cup and deep into the Club World Cup a couple of times. My understanding, though, is that Ramon Trebulic doesn't hold the coaching badges that the FFA require for an A-League coach to be able to sit on the bench in an A-League game. So that might be a little bit of a sticking point there.
Does Chris Greenacre and Des Buckingham hold that same situation with their badges?
They both hold the badges.
The question is how do they temporarily do the job if there's people who they could potentially bring in? Aren't they all in the same boat?
Sorry, say that again?
No, if, are you saying they have got the qualification
or they haven't? They do, yeah.
They have.
Okay.
I'll tell you what was what's interesting, Jason, is if you're like me and you watch all the press conferences after the game, when Buckingham and Greenacre sit there doing their press conferences, a question gets asked, especially in Australia, questions get asked and they look at each other to say, who's going to answer them? I mean, the joint coaches, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
It's a really good point. We were at a media conference yesterday and talking to a couple of the local journos here, and we sort of feel the same way. From the moment Ernie Merrick left, it's been a complete double act. Neither of them has ever appeared at a media situation without the other. It's been an absolute double act every time. And so when you start with a line of questioning, you know, it's sometimes hard to ask three or four straight questions to the same guy because, you know, you sort of feel like you want to give them both equal time, and sometimes you ask a question which is actually directed at neither of them, and one of them, as you say, looks at the other and says, well, I'll take this one, and they pick it up. Going forward, I think if it is to be the two of them who take charge, then they really have to divide those duties. They say, well, look, OK, Des, you're up today. Chris, you're up tomorrow. You do post-match, I'll do pre-match, whatever it is. They do seem to be singing from the same song sheet. But drill a bit deeper than just the media side of this, it would be a really unusual and quite challenging situation. For example, sitting on the bench, who decides who makes the subs? And what if there's disagreement over that? You know, this division of responsibility would have to be really, really clear. It seems to me that the two of them do very much, as I say, sing from the same song sheet, have the same philosophy around coaching and want to impart that to the Wellington Phoenix team. But I think there would need to be a little bit of managing of things like you've just mentioned and the other things that a manager would normally do by himself if it was going to be a true double act moving forward.
Speaking to Jason Pyne from Sky Sport New Zealand here on Box to Box on Macquarie Radio NTS. Now, Piney, Auckland, of course, we've been there in the NSL days, we've been there in the A-League days. It hasn't worked. However, there is a school of thought that if we're going to continue down the path with this Wellington experience, that they need a little brother over there. We've talked about needing derbies in cities like Perth and Brisbane, etc. Do we need a New Zealand derby? And how serious is any potential bid from Auckland at the moment?
Well, I mean, first part of that question, it would be great to have a New Zealand derby. Absolutely. I mean, the derbies have worked brilliantly, haven't they, in Melbourne and Sydney. It's been, you know, some of the most eye-catching football that's been played in the A-League has been the derby games. And it would be great if Wellington had a derby against Auckland. I think before that can even be talked about, I think there has to be some solidity wrapped around the Wellington franchise. And I think it would be extremely brave of Football Federation Australia in the face of bids from the likes of, what, Tasmania, South Melbourne, Geelong, Canberra, and others as well, you know, a second bid from Brisbane, perhaps another Adelaide team, who knows. It would be really brave of them to put another New Zealand side into the A-League ahead of the likes of those bids, provided, of course, they were strong enough bids. Down the track, absolutely, it would be great. I don't know that there's been a lot of activity out of Auckland. I think we've certainly over here asked the question of Auckland City, and they've said, yes, of course, we'd be interested in having a look at it, but they haven't exactly been out guns blazing like some of these other expansion hopefuls have been on your side of the Tasman, and I think that probably goes back to the fact that, of what I just said, that they are not 100% sure that FFA would even look at it before they seriously consider these bids from other Australian franchises. Down the track in a 20-team A-League, it would be great to have two New Zealand sides. But in the next round of expansion, I think there's absolutely no chance at all that one of the two teams that gets added in a couple of seasons will be Auckland.
Thanks, Jason. Excellent insight on all things New Zealand. After the break, Dean Hennessy's back with all things from England.
Box to box.
Can you believe it?
The Chemist Warehouse.
Home of real brands and real savings.
And Storage King.
They're just around the corner.
And this could be the most crucial goal of all.
We normally have a bit of a European wrap at this time of the night, but unfortunately, Europe's got a bit of snow about it, so they're in their winter break. So, Dino, he gets to talk about the old dart for the whole segment.
It's good. Yeah, we do try to cover Europe.
You don't get there very often, but when you do, it's gold.
Yeah.
But not this week, because they're all in front of their fires, drinking their hot cups of coffee and tea, waiting for their seasons to start again.
They are. We'll most probably start with the Premier League.
But the tough men of football, the Premier League, they keep going through this winter break.
Well, they do. And it's a really busy schedule, not only for just the Premier League and the Championship, but all English leagues. This is where their busy period. This is where they earn their money during this Christmas break. They don't really get one. Most have cancelled their Christmas parties this year if they've not been doing quite as well as they liked. And I think it's... I think the league table, I mean, Chelsea are absolutely flying along with Liverpool, with Manchester City, and Arsenal still in tow, with Tottenham also not too far away either on 36 points. But then outside of Manchester United, then there's a big fall away. You know, the gap between Manchester United on 33 points and Everton on 26, that's a really, really big gap. So it's all of, for me, it's about six teams trying to finish in those top four for Champions League, and obviously the ones who obviously want to win the Championship. I think that's really out of most probably Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester City. Looking at the games coming up, I think the best one most probably for me is on Saturday, which is tomorrow night, certainly in their time, Sunday morning our time, Liverpool second versus Manchester City third. This should be a classic. It's interesting they talk about Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp having a bit of rivalry. Every time I've watched them together on the sideline, they seem to get on like really good friends. So maybe there's a little bit more than meets the eye, but I think this will be an absolute cracker. And this is, you know, for me, I'll be encouraging everyone to tune in if they've got all their TV set up ready for the Premier League this weekend. But that should be an absolute cracker. At the other end, I'm also looking at Middlesbrough and Leicester. This is an interesting one where both Middlesbrough and Leicester are only 3 and 4 points off the relegation zone. So whoever gets the result here can really push and elevate themselves away from trouble, in line with also the Crystal Palace and Swansea game, which obviously we've touched on already with Bradley leaving and also Pardew leaving. So one team's got a replacement, which is Big Sam, but Swansea's still yet to actually replace. So what's your thoughts on who do you think will get the job, either Edge or Marker?
Don't know about that. I really don't know. Probably your man Coleman.
Giggsy.
You think Giggsy?
I think the time's right. He interviewed, I think, twice before they went with Bradley. Yeah, it's interesting too with Bob Bradley. I mean, he's done well with the he's been in charge of the US national team. He's been prominent in the MLS. I keep talking about spoke to Harry Kuehl recently, you know, talking about Watford. Would you be open to an A-League job? And he said yes, but I sort of went back and said, no, mate, stay there in the UK because you've got albeit a checkered reputation because of his injuries and stuff, and that transfer from Leeds to Liverpool. But he is known as obviously a very good player, a talented player. Whether he ends up being a good coach or not remains to be seen. But the point is, there seems to be a lack of, England, they're willing to take on Australian players. They probably still see them with not that much skill or talent, but obviously hard workers, etc. But until we've got an Australian coaching at the in the EPL or the Bundesliga, whatever it might be, I don't think until then we get the full respect. So it's interesting to see Bob Bradley, that US seems to have had that little bit of a notch over us. We'll hire an American, albeit for 2 months.
Yeah, look, I agree with that. And I think that's most probably a point, a really good point. I mean, most probably the most favourite to get a job most probably would be, certainly in the Premier League, maybe an Ange Postecoglou because of his international background. But again, it's a hard gig. You know, that was the first American to come in and coach in England.
And it lasted 8 weeks.
And it lasted 8 weeks.
But Swansea City have a history. What about this? In 1997, Mickey Adams lasted 13 days.
And that's where the game is just out of control. And it's all based on money, you know.
And in 1984, Dave Bassett lasted 4 days at Crystal Palace.
Oh, Harry Bassett, brilliant.
Changed his mind, went back to Wimbledon.
Now, what we'll do, we'll just quickly just aim now a little bit further ahead. The last thing on the Premier League before we move on to the Championship, but Tottenham play Chelsea, which is a big London derby. That's on the Wednesday next week, but that will be an absolute cracker because Chelsea are flying and Tottenham need to win to actually keep in touch. So it's interesting times ahead, certainly in the Premier League, and I think we'll now just switch quickly over to the Championship. Now, the Championship is now headed by Brighton, and Newcastle got beat at home to Sheffield Wednesday during the Christmas period, but these two are pretty well leaders by 6 and 8 points respectively. So the gap between the chasing teams, or the playoff spots, is Reading, Leeds, Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday. And they're all within 3 points of each other, with my team, Derby, 1 point outside. Now, Derby have gone on a run and won something like 7 and drawn 1. And it really most probably signifies they've done that well in that period and still they're not in the top six. So, but the league itself, our old Jackson Irvin overnight scored the winner at Rotherham. So it was really good for Jackson. And that was a really important 3 points for his team, Burton Albion.
How does he just keep scoring so many goals, especially considering the position he plays? It's amazing.
Look, I think it suits him as well. I know when he's come into the national team, he's played a little bit deeper. But I don't know if you notice, even when we played at Thailand when he came on, the late runs he makes. And if you don't get him picked up, and he's obviously a striker by trade or plays at the higher end of the pitch, but that is most probably the one that if you've got someone who can just arrive at the right time and know where to be, they end up scoring a lot of goals because they're hard to defend because central defenders and fullbacks are worrying about their wide players or central players. They're not looking at the 10 or possibly, let's call him an 8, that's coming in to try and finish it off. And he is a striker by trade. So I think he'll continue to score goals and I don't mind him playing in that position.
Can I take you back to the Prem for a second? Because I don't care about the Championship, mate. no, I do. But especially because there's a prominent Socceroos playing in there. But Liverpool, Man City. Now, Liverpool have got two dodgy keepers. Do they look at Joe Hart in January?
Yeah, they do. They do. Joe Hart has done well since he's been over in Italy. I mean, he's had his little moments like they all do. But Liverpool's goal... I mean, it's surprising that Liverpool are second and really right in the mix with having the goalkeeping issues they've had this year. But I think...
Well, why. They've got away with it because they scored... I think I saw the stat. They scored more goals this season since 1984.
84-85, yeah, it was. And it's entertaining to watch. They're fabulous to watch. And they are now even.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just going back to the Premier League, I think that's really a target that he will aim for and he'll get a goalkeeper in.
Sorry, mate, you can get back to
your championship. No, that's okay. And I just thought the other thing most probably from the Championship, which is most probably interesting as well, is that there's teams like Preston who are in 13th and they are still only 8 points out from the from obviously the playoff situation. So all of a sudden, again, if you get on a good run, like Derby haven't got themselves back in it, even though they're not right in the heart of it yet, it's an interesting league. This league is most probably, as we say most weeks, it's intriguing because anyone can beat anyone on any given day.
You haven't mentioned the big daddy, Aston Villa. I know they drew overnight, but
they
climbed up to 9th on the ladder, and importantly, they're only 5 points off the 6th spot. If they get into the playoffs, you'd give them a chance.
Yeah, look, Stevie Bruce, really experienced manager. They scored a last-minute equaliser overnight, and... look, Leeds, who they drew with, flying as well. Leeds are in a really good position. And the good thing is both these teams are really, really well supported. I mean, they're getting really decent crowds. I mean, if you look at some of the attendances, like Newcastle, are still getting 50,000.
Yeah, no, they pack it out.
And
we also should mention our good mate Ben Soro Perez's team, Brighton and Hove Albion, who just top of the table, doing it easily.
And I'm really, really pleased for Chris Hughton. Because he got a really bum steer, I think. Everywhere he's gone, whether he was at Newcastle and he even had a spell with Tottenham, you know, it was one of those where he's not fashionable. And it really drives me mad, a bit like the Gary Rowett situation with, then him losing his job purely because he was in a really good position because, you know, they wanted photos with somebody a bit more like Gianfranco Zola. And it's just wrong. And they haven't won since he took over. So, I mean... I just don't know where these owners are going with this. I really don't. I think it's more an ego trip, especially the rich ones. They just get the ego trip, and then if they get into a position to win something, they're happy with it.
Could possibly will be. So what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Oh, for me, I think Liverpool, Manchester City. I think this could really set up really an opportunity now for Liverpool to really climb close to Chelsea, and then that could really put the Pep Guardiola's Manchester City, you know, a little bit, not too far behind, but I mean, Chelsea's won 12 in a row.
Something like, yeah.
12. I mean, it's a phenomenal run in the Premier League to win 12, and, you know, Conte's magic is doing really, really well. So I think, you know, what we most probably want to try in this segment as well is also for all our listeners, you know, wish them all a Happy New Year. And thank you for listening to Box to Box, and whether it's the Premier League segment, the Europe segment, or the A-League segment. It's been a pleasure to be on the show each and every week.
Yeah, we've loved your analysis, Dean. It's been awesome. Even though you are a Derby fan, we do excuse that. And Happy New Year to you, mate. But you're going to join us for stoppage time in a moment.
I certainly will.
Which will be great. And after the break... Mark Van Aken with his look back at 2016.
The A-League, whether it's thank you, Eggman, buying this in all segment, as you know, wish happy news to them all and listeners for all our for listening. I think really well. You know, what most also for well is really real. I think in this context, it's probably one of the phenomenal. So on to true year, win 12. His magic, phenomenal role, and he's doing Premier 12, you know,
something
running
like
the thing. What, Chelsea?
Yeah.
He's won. I mean, it's a league to know. The little bit of 12, moving around. That could really, and then behind, but a little too city and Chelsea, just a, not for the old, you know, really far, because Manchester most and now and the team now Pep Guardiola not this really put water really, could really Liverpool really set time claw top Liverpool City poor man really I think this think really just a
so what are you
opportunity to get into me I'm
looking forward to position WLB could possibly do this week
go tree with it okay. Oh for me I mean something to win the happy and then especially the lead out I really know where they get the they just don't these more an ego and ego trip ownership I think it's them rich ones a bit more like these they haven't jumped for over so once it's all around a really situated good position wrong and I had somebody a bit Franco's with this and it's just photos you know position because they wanted those with purely and him Gary losing the position was job Bowers says he was in mad drives me Bowers Gary really dropped a bit like the you know, mad you know like the position really drives me losing his and him situated you know there's more like with good position because they wanted purely good job as he was in John Fashion because like, somebody a bit goes with some solar and wrong and there. Them it's just what he took. I mean, so over going owners it's more an e-photo. Just don't know. Don't. Once in the way the rich one go trip something that really is the just actually the runs. I think it's this.
Looking forward to this week you will be
to win go trip.
So what are you looking
at position get the ego and then if it's with it they get into this clink
could possibly
not all mansion Liverpool just to sit happy Liverpool but for me could really now for good really I think that's a real just a silly set or opportunity this you know and team now really climb put they'll say I'm close up just to check a little bit and then Pep God not for the older 12 as Manch far behind a row I mean it's just his one but challenge
yeah yeah
a link one but two and then that city someone will run in the Premier League phenomenal I mean think, you know 12
yeah. Something
really well magic so I'm 12 and really really and I think it to win all our you know which Conte in this he's doing to try I think probably one snares a year but I was you know happy new what most so for Wigman as well then more and listen thank you for Premier to Bartler to Box to being a mentor whether it's the segment say the A-League the Europe each in the and every week implement segment A-League
and El- pleasure to be there you are Dean it's loved your being all excuse that David
bless us on the show
yeah we've and each time you fan join us you do you're gonna some even you may new we mark back at happy fan eight which 20 minutes first and after the break he's looked back 20 to be great year to year which will be great and with his 16 he's looked back at 16 can with it but you're gonna you mate and after the mark fan eight mark the break mate, well first stop each time we do excuse the does even though you are some even join us and happy that new analysis to be fan yeah we're at
and pleasure to
and it's been all
the Euro week
and we
it's been a
Dean and year to year.
Each segment, although
we've loved your
set in every league, the be on the shot about to box Premier League A-League segment. Thank you, whether it's Iron Nix segment or in segment as you know, which happiness, then more all and listeners for listening, you know, I think really well. Also, for hours, or what most probably will, I think in this really recount, it's a phenomenal. So, yeah, someone will run to try his magic, he's doing win 12, you know, more than Premier
something,
what, challenge,
yeah, yeah.
Thing, running the league. To, I mean, it's obviously one little bit, though, the yeah. 12 city moving around, but that could really. Two and then that you know just a not for say really the old host to man now for far been and Pep Guardiola and this Liverpool team now to really set could really put not all my mind cut up really at the Liverpool think this just a, I think really
so what are you
looking position
me
I think
we'll be
opportunity
looking forward
to getting
could possibly
oh for me with it go trip
to this week
I mean okay. Know where the especially the happy are really something the penitent to win more and easy down these they just get the ego going just don't ego trims rich one it's owners and see talks I think it's once a gem for a bit more like, so Zola is the over they haven't a good position I'm really like wrong on that situation photo and it's just as with their position because somebody a bit you know Franco's losing it then him with those with Gary the one to purely mad mission Bowers job drives me because he was in Gary really drives with you know really go mad losing his bit like the drives me mission and him there's you know situation job more like with the purely Franco's good position wrong and then I wanted John Frank goes with somebody a bit as he was in mission because Ola and it's just them I mean he took over owners of more and eat so just don't know going with a rich one photo he's something the way they don't I really go trip once in I think it's especially they're just
looking forward to this
and go trip he's the and then if the position to win
this week
get the
so what are you looking to get into could possibly
this with it and care say not just a city four man Liverpool happy Liverpool yeah. But for me could really I think they could really I think really at now for just assist really set to real opportunity put the you know I'm clutching now and really clutch up I'll say Pep Guardiola and goes to check a little bit for not for his 112 as Manchester I mean it's moving around Chelsea far be the older City
yeah yeah
two and then that Premier League I'm betting in the I mean they for not yeah. 12 run, you know in the, so I really really
something like
magic I think it's in 12 and really well in this sense you know it's all our league to win Conte's I think yeah he's doing the snares probably want to try so for us you know what most I always welcome them as well. They're more happy news. It's been a Antibox. Thank you for all the Box Premier listen to the A-League. So, whether it's the segment every week in months or Europe, each league.
Dean, it's a pleasure to be. And I love your week. I know you are. That's been awesome.
On the show.
Yeah, we've lost us. You do join us. And be fan. You're going to pitch time. And Mark, some of you, mate. Happy fan 8. We continue back at the minute, mate, which a break. And after the first of 20, he's looked back. Should we grade 20? Should we grade year to you? Back at Ken Withing.
Certainly wait.
16. Ken with 16. I mean, he's looked you, mate. Mark Van A. And after the break, but you're going to stop each time.
Well,
mate, excuse. We do first new news. And some, even though you are a dad, join us that to be fair. Happy.
And pleasure to be.
Yeah, we've been analysis week. It's been all.
It's been each of the Europe. Dean. Mental. So, segment.
We've loved your year to you.
Premier on the Premier League, the A League to box, the every box segment. Thank you all to them more, whether it's segment as well. We're all happy new and as you know, we probably want, you know, also for, I think for listeners really well. What most in this world is the phenomenal content really, I think is magic. It's so in 12, he's doing phenomenal run to 2 year.
Yeah, he's something
more than 12 Premier, you know, league to, you know, running the. I mean, it's the little bit, I mean, a little bit, he's won 12 and moving around could really, and then that two city, you know, the old really not Chelsea, it's just a. As many and far close to Liverpool, Pep Guardiola for this, and I'm pretty nearly put really settled to reform and could rip up the teeth, not for really at Liverpool. I think to position really just to this.
So, what are you
with it? I think me, I
could possibly
opportunity offer me to get in.
Looking forward to be will be happy to this week.
I mean, you know, trip, especially the nowhere this morning, something that I really starting to win, and then if it's me down, get the rich one, ego trip going. The Jones just don't jump. I think it's the owners won since he took. Over a bit more like these, so Zola, they haven't a good position. Photo really goes wrong in that situation, and it's just like then him losing his position because Vanco, somebody had been with this, and they wanted, you know, Gary Rose was purely with the Rowett session, mad his job really dropped because he was in Rowett's. But Gary drives me with, you know, really losing his, you know, position, a bit like the mad, you know, a bit like the, you know, drives me in situation, and him was, you know, purely because the more like job Vanco's going for like, good positions with someone wanted wrong, and then. I mean, because he was in, it's just Zola and it. Somebody a bit pushing because over. They haven't going with he took more and he owners. I just don't know photo. So Rich wants something. They wear these down, especially the. I really
looking forward to.
I think it's once into this. They just and then if you go trip, get the Egan to win these things.
This week in
position.
So what do you
go trip
could possibly
with it? They get into this.
You will be
Liverpool, not Liverpool for me. I think a happy for Manchester City. I think that really, I think could really just to see how fully set this for and it's opportunity to, you know, really clutty now and clearly put the put a real, not a little bit, and I'll say, goes to Chelsea. Manchester got 12 in a row. Chelsea, I mean, it's a far bit. He's won a little too, the older.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that City Premier, you know, and in the phenomenal. I mean, they won all right, 12. Yeah. But,
something like
that. So I think it's magic, really, really. You know, we're solving to win in this sets in 12 all our really well. Conte snares a year to try. He's doing, I think, probably one so far, you know. What most of the box I always thought has been a them all until this about happy new segment as well. Thank you and for listening to whether it's the Premier the A League segment, the in every week segment, each pleasure to be
loved your
league, the Europe
Dean, it's and L Turb has been all excused, and there you are
on the show.
Let's just our dub. Yeah, with that, you do we fan join us, but you're going to some even each time. Happy you, mate. Mark Van Aert's a minimum, and we the break back. And after the new year, which will be great. First off, he's looked 20s, will be great. Year to year. Back again with him.
I certainly wait.
You, mate. 16. He's looked again with him. Mark Van Aert, excuse the break. Top each time. We do excite. And after, but you're going to first
well.
With the new even though you are. And join us to be fans. So maybe Mara does that. Tell us happy.
It's been all. The Europe pleasure to week.
And we great. And yeah, we
each other mental segment.
Dean, we've loved your
the A-League on the Premier League. The Premier League segment. Mr. Bart, thank you. And every to Bart in the segment. Happy new segment as well. Them all to Royal Island, whether it's, and you know, we, you know, and it's probably in this also. For, I think the phenomenal really listeners as well is what Mercanti for listening. Phenomenal really well. So.